This is the United States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 146 of the USDF's official podcast. I'm Chris Stafford, and a happy new year to you all as we bring you our first episode of 2017. Coming up, we'll have some news items for you, and then the USDF President George Williams will be here to share his review of the 2016 Adequan USDF Annual Convention. And after that, Alan Mann will be talking about joint health in the first of several recordings that were taken from the education sessions held during the 2016 Adequan USDF Annual Convention. But first, a reminder, as always, that the views of any of our guests and the host of this podcast do not necessarily reflect the views of USDF or its members. In our news this week, the first of the host sites for the 2017 USDF Breeders' Championship Series final competitions have been determined and are available for review on the USDF website at usdf.org. Any interested competitors can review the USDF competition calendar for the locations and dates of the USDF Breeders' Championship Series qualifying and final competitions nearest you. And starting in 2017, L graduates and L graduates with distinction will be required to complete 8 hours of judge-specific continuing education per year. Graduates who meet the continuing education requirements will be listed on the USDF website. And for more information on this requirement, you can contact LProgram at usdf.org. George Williams joins me now to review this year's convention. George, welcome back.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Always a busy time, of course. Lots of business takes place and some fun too. So give us a recap, if you would, from your perspective of how the convention went and the main events.
Well, I think it's first in a lot of ways, especially for those of us on the executive board. It's a business meeting, and it's where the Board of Governors meets and votes on some of the issues that come before the USDF. And the Board of Governors meeting, I think, went extremely well. There were some minor things that were brought forward. They're minor changes. There's a couple of minor ones to the freestyle year-end award and the freestyle musical challenge. And then they also approved a new adult amateur musical freestyle award. So those were all the very good things. We had a fair amount of discussion because the executive board had proposed a dues membership increase for moving forward, and it would only affect the participating in business memberships. But we felt that it has been, I think it's been about 10 years. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but it's been quite a while, and we felt that really, while the financials and the USDF is really on pretty solid ground, the way things are going, we felt that we needed to be a little bit more prepared for the future and able to introduce a few more programs, and we really wanted to be ahead of the game with it. So there was a lot of discussion back and forth, but in the end, the Board of Governors did approve a dues increase. And as I said, it is just for the participating in business members. You'll see that going into effect for the beginning of the 2018 year, which is, I believe it's December 1st, 2017. So that was really the sort of the business end of the meeting. And we have also several committees that meet throughout the week. And some of the more popular programs that the committees offer and through their meetings, they have a judges roundtable. We had a competition open forum and also a roundtable discussions that was hosted by the GMO committee. In addition, it's really kind of business. We always host a USEF rule change forum, and that is always popular. It was very popular this year. And it's really beneficial because those attending get to hear the reasoning behind the USEF proposed rule changes. And also they're able to give feedback. Unfortunately, though, with my schedule, I wasn't able to attend it. So I can't really tell you what discussion really happened there and what were the highlights of that. But it's a good opportunity for the members, our members, to give feedback to the USDF rule change proposals. The other thing that was really quite interesting is U.S. Equestrian CEO Bill Maroney was at our meeting and addressed the Junior Young Rider Committee meeting regarding the future of the NAJYRC. And he was there to answer questions, but he also was there to ask questions. Moving forward in 2017, dressage and para dressage and jumping will be held at the HITS facility in Saugerties, New York, while eventing will have their championships at Rebecca Farm in Montana. And of course, it's disappointing to a lot of us that the disciplines are not going to be able to be together, but we also understand the issues and the problems that are faced by trying to put all of the disciplines together and try to get them all to sort of fit into the same hole, so to speak, in that, for dressage, the NAJYRC is such an important part of our developing program for our youth. And dressage has really maximized the program, and the other disciplines probably not as much, and it's always been a little bit challenging for the jumpers. They have a lot of other opportunities that they're sort of competing with the NAJYRC. So it's been a little bit tricky, and it's taken some planning and talking to see what would be the, what's the best way in moving forward. So as I said, for 2017, the dressage, para dressage, and jumping will be in Saugerties. Talk about it being a business meeting. There are several educational events, educational opportunities that we offer through the week, and I think they all were very, very popular. Every morning they start with a rider fitness Pilates with Janice Dulac, and that seems to be very well attended. But there are other educational programs as well. Jennifer Verheeren did a strategic planning for riders, and she also did a youth education time and stress management session. Sports psychology for the equestrian was done by Dr. Sandy Veneman. She did another one as well. And of course, Dr. Hillary Clayton, Ellen Mann from Attaquan, which is of course a sponsor of our convention, spoke, as did Coralie Hughes. But one of the most popular talks was the members from the U.S. dressage team. Several of the members of the team were there, and they did a Reflecting on Rio program Saturday afternoon. And again, I had other things that I had to do, so I was not able to be there, but I heard that it was very, very popular. And considering how well the team did, or with the fact that it was a bronze medal team, that was quite an emotional discussion as well in a lot of ways. So that was, as I said, very, very popular. One of the new initiatives to come out of the convention, and this has been being worked on for a couple of years, is the USDF National Education Initiative, which is being put forward by the Adult Clinics Task Force, and was approved this year and is part of our budget now going forward. And the goal of that is to support riding and educational opportunities for USDF adult members nationwide. And you may be aware that we are discontinuing the adult clinics in the format that we currently conduct them. And it was felt that these educational opportunities, might be more beneficial. They can take many forms, and that it could be unmounted sessions, could be a rider test formats or more traditional clinic formats, depending on what members want within their regions. And there'll also be more opportunities within a region each year. So we're really pretty excited about being able to offer that. And then finally, the week ends with the gala. And I have to say that's one of the most fun evenings. And it's so much fun to see people getting their awards, so the ones that receive their bronze, silver, gold medals, their freestyle bars, and of course the horse of the year and all of that being recognized. And then we also, of course, you know, recognize individuals through the Youth Volunteer Award. Sophia Chavanel was received that, and Sheila Worth received the Volunteer of the Year Award for adults. And it's nice to be able to recognize the individuals that give so much to the sport. And then we also, of course, induct individuals into the Hall of Fame, and we have a Lifetime Achievement Award. And then this year, we just introduced the Member of Distinction Award, and we awarded that to Jana Rumbaugh, who has been really instrumental in helping dressage develop here in Florida in the Wellington area. And she's not only been behind the scenes from, you know, supporting the shows in that manner, but also, of course, she's a very active competitor, has been, I think, competed in 25 regional championships. She's just an outstanding individual. We also awarded Dr. Sam Barish a Lifetime Achievement Award. Many of you may be familiar, many of your audience may be familiar with the work he did in helping us to develop our offices in Lexington, Kentucky, the National Education Center. He was really instrumental in getting that done. But he also was very involved in some of the programs that you see in Region 1. And for USDF, he played a very active role in developing better relations with the USEF. And in the Hall of Fame, we recognize posthumously Lillian Roy, who was one of the founders of the York in York, Pennsylvania, of the International Equestrian Organization. But we recognize her because she really was the first one to run a recognized dressage show in the United States in 1955. And it's quite an achievement, considering that she had to convince the HSA at that time that there were enough people and it was worth doing. And of course, you know, there were no tests and there were no rules. So we've come a long ways since then, and it's really thanks to people like Lillian. And then for me personally, of course, the highlight is that the wonderful horse I rode, Rocher, was inducted into the Hall of Fame. So that was an emotional ending of the week for me. So I think that pretty much sums up, you know, how the week went.
Well, that was a wonderful finale for you, George. Congratulations, Rochelle.
Thank you.
Receiving that. And, of course, there's more information on the website, as always, usdf.org, for a comprehensive review. So, George, thank you very much. We come to the end of another year. Thank you very much indeed for doing this for us. And we look forward to 2017 and more.
Very good. Thank you.
And in upcoming episodes of this podcast, we'll be talking with a few of the service award winners that George mentioned, and we'll be sharing audio recordings from the education sessions. And we begin this new series of education segments with part one of the convention education session on joint health, presented by Luitpold Pharmaceuticals Director of the Animal Health Division, Alan Mann.
Let me tell you a little bit about Alan. Alan has committed the last 28 years to working in the animal health industry. Currently works at Luitpold Pharmaceuticals as the director of the Animal Health Division. His primary focus is on the health of the horse.
Thank you. So what we're going to do today is I'm going to give you a little insight into, or let's say a review on the anatomy of the horse's joint. And hopefully you'll have a pretty good understanding what happens when things go wrong, and then some of the things you can do to try to fix the problem. But ultimately, if you don't take away anything else, remember that once cartilage is damaged, today there's nothing out there that can fix it. And we're going to show you that progression of joint disease and what happens to the cartilage, and in many cases, why it happens. But each one of you are your advocates for your animals. And to the degree that you can really pay attention to what's going on day in and day out, you can be the biggest asset in helping to prevent any chronic conditions in their joints. So The main focus we're going to look at is the joint capsule and what's going on there with the synovial membrane, the importance of the nerves and the blood vessels, with the articular cartilage, you know, and almost 80% of that is water, so think about that. And yet, when it gets damaged, it's in a bad place. Talk a little bit about the chondrocytes, which are the cells that make cartilage, and then give a little insight into the bone underneath the cartilage, the subchondral bone, and the role that plays in the health of the joint. So these cells, the synovial sites, which make up the membrane of the synovial, they're tight-knitted, they're close together. This blood vessel runs parallel to the membrane. The joint fluid, has anybody ever had their horse's joint injected and actually healthy fluid came out, right? It's very, very viscous, it's very stringy, so that if the veterinarian would have let it fall out of the hub of the needle, it could have created a long string. That means that the fluid's pretty good. When it gets red and watery, that's when you have problems. So this joint fluid is very viscous. It's almost like the consistency of maple syrup. And it helps to act as a boundary lubricant to keep the stuff from leaking into this joint space. And we're going to talk a little bit on why that's so important. So the key takeaway to cartilage is that this white substance has no pain receptors. What does that mean? That means that if this cartilage is under attack, how do you know? Because the horse isn't going to be able to tell you something's going on. These nerves are in the subchondral bone. Those are where you have your pain receptor. But if these nerves are feeling the pain, that's not a good thing, because that means that you've either damaged some of the cartilage, or that joint has taken such a pounding that the subchondral bone is being impacted and causing pain to the animal. The main thing about cartilage is that almost 80% of it is water. So every time your horse takes a step, there's a major compression taking place. That cartilage just gets squished down to almost flat as a pancake. But when it's healthy, and all of a sudden your horse relieves the pressure on the joint, everything bounces back to normal, and that joint just continues to work real well. So every time your horse is out there training, you're just even on a light jog or actually in a test, that joint is constantly under a lot of stress. But as long as the cartilage surface stays healthy, then the underlying subchondral bone should never really have an issue. Remember, the cartilage has no pain receptors, so there's no way to really tell that the cartilage is being damaged. You can't even really see cartilage on an x-ray unless it's really advanced. Really, the only way they can look at cartilage today is with an MRI, the same way they do with people. And we know that not only is an MRI expensive, but you really don't want to start doing MRIs prophylactically just to look at your joints, right? Just wouldn't make sense. So the cartilage is really so critical to your joints, your horse's joints, your dog's joints. We have to do everything we can to preserve the health of the cartilage. The average 10-year-old horse has about 2% of chondrocytes, the cells that make cartilage, throughout the entire, what they call the matrix. So 2% of the entire cartilage is responsible for producing the cartilage on a regular basis. So these cells, there's not many of them. That's why when you get damage to the cartilage, it doesn't grow back, because you've destroyed the cells in that section of the cartilage. So we're starting to put kind of a puzzle together. Cartilage has no pain receptors, so we don't really know when there's damage taking place. There's only a very small substance of living components in the cartilage. Roughly 2% are the cells that produce cartilage. So once you start to damage them, you've kind of created a downward spiral. So I love this term, functioning, balanced joint. So Every time you're exercising your horses, joint fluid is being broken down and cartilage is being worn down. But when things are healthy, the cells that produce the joint fluid, the synovial sites, they can continue to keep the joint fluid viscous, and the cartilage, those chondrocytes, will be able to continue to build up the cartilage that's worn away. That goes on for a lifetime. There are people that have made it into their late stages of life and have never had any arthritis in their joints, right? That system, it continues to just keep working unless we injure it somewhere along the way. So if you've played any sports or had any accidents when you were younger and you thought that you've, you know, got through life pretty good, depending on what was damaged, it may take 20, 30, 40 years to really manifest itself, unless you're an athlete that's constantly competing. When things are normal and everything's working, so the cells, the chondrocytes, the synovial sites, they just can keep up with that damage just from use. The synovial fluid is constantly being replaced, and there is no cartilage loss. That is a perfect joint. That's what you want for your horse. You don't want to have anything get out of whack, so you start to have problems. So what happens when DJD kicks in? And you know, that term means degenerative joint disease. We could call it, especially in the early stages of the disease process, synovitis, which is inflammation to the synovial membrane. And guess what happens? This blood vessel that was kind of friendly, all of a sudden isn't so friendly, and it starts to leak some blood through this membrane, and as it permeates the membrane, it starts to attack the joint fluid, and it starts to break down the joint fluid. Blood in itself isn't a bad problem, it's what it's leaking out of the blood. And mainly these white blood cells, you know, they're good and they're bad, but when they get into a joint environment, they have a difficult time differentiating between what's healthy and what isn't. So they start to attack things and they release enzymes. And one of the enzymes they release early on in the joint disease process is an enzyme called hyaluronidase. What do you think hyaluronidase is going to do? It's going to start to break down hyaluronic acid, which makes up the vast majority of joint fluid and is responsible for the viscosity. So that's the first stage of joint disease. Synovitis, joint fluid being compromised, and usually your horse is gonna give you some indication that this is going on. It's how you react to it and how you handle it that's gonna make the difference long term.
And a reminder, as I mentioned before, these education sessions will be available on the USDF's official podcast in the upcoming months. And the full versions of the recordings will be made available on eTrack under Dressage on the Go. And finally, a reminder that nominations are being accepted for participating member delegates in all regions until April the 15th, 2017. To accept the nomination and to be elected, a PM delegate nominee must be a current USDF participating member, have a permanent residence and reside in the region for which they are running as a candidate, and also attend the 2017 Adequan USDF Annual Convention in Lexington, Kentucky. PM delegates serve a one-year term from the time of election in mid-year 2017 until the election in mid-year 2018. All nominations, in addition to any inquiries regarding these nominations, should be sent to nominations@usdf.org. And that's it for our first episode of 2017. And a reminder that you can download this podcast from the iTunes podcast store to any podcast app. And everything you need to know about the USDF is on the website at usdf.org, with regular updates on our social media channels, where there will also be a link to the latest episodes of the USDF official podcast. Until the next time, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.